got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
A material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun and I believe might be in retaliation to your testimony.
Broadcasting live from Los Angeles, it's the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. This is Alex Alonso. You may be aware of my platform, Street TV, a.k.a. StreetGangs.com, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
Reggie Wright.
And James.
And James McDonald. And also want to make sure that you check out Reggie Wright on his platform, Bomb First, every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. And you could also get him on Facebook and Instagram at reggie.wright.jr., and also, James McDonald can be found on Facebook and on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. And he's also got those shirts. You can hit him up, 909-800-6404. And this is episode 26. And if you're new to the podcast, please go back and listen to previous episodes because most of our episodes are interrelated and you won't start hearing me until episode 3. And if you're on iTunes listening, please give us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. You could rate us from 1 to 5 stars. 5 stars meaning you love the show. And in addition, you could add questions, comments, and I'll make sure we review those questions and we may address them on the show. And for those who don't have iTunes, we're also available on Google Play for you Samsung and Android users. We're on Spotify and also on radio.com. And I also have an announcement to make before we start our show. I believe we got our live show planned. It is going to be October 23rd, 2019 at 7 p.m. That will be a live broadcast at 7, from 7 to 9. And then after that, we'll have a meet and greet from 9 to 10:30. And it'll be at the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill. That's the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill. In Bellflower, California. The address is 16728 Bellflower Boulevard. So be sure to come out there, meet and greet us, listen to the show. And to get tickets, you got to visit the GangsterChroniclesPodcast.com website. That's www.thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com website. So we hope that all you guys in the Los Angeles area will come out and check us out at Bellflower at the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill. All right, so let's get into our show. But before we start the show, I got a couple of fact checks from last week. Last week was our very popular Tekashi episode, guys. But I did make a mistake. Last week I said that Sammy the Bull Gravano admitted to 17 murders. But guess what? He admitted to 19 homicides when they gave him a beautiful five-year deal.
How many people did he incriminate in the process?
Oh, he incriminated about 100 members of all five families of the New York Mafia. Most of them were from the Gambino crime family. And for those who just heard that voice, I was going to introduce him, but that's Spider. That's Spider Loke.
Welcome back.
Appreciate it, GC.
He beat me to his introduction.
My bad.
But no, that's cool.
Now, you just said such an interesting statement. I just had to, like, spark my
I always say that Sammy the Bull Gravano admitted to more homicides than Jeffrey Dahmer, and he basically walked.
Wow.
5 years. But then he got out and got caught up in an ecstasy ring. He did 17 on that, and he's actually free. He got out in 2017. And then also last week I brought up Tim Allen as being a snitch. He actually gave up several names in his cocaine trafficking case in 1978 in Kalamazoo. I believe Kalamazoo's in Michigan.
And he was dealing?
Yeah, he was a cocaine dealer in the 70s.
And he came home and made millions on the screen.
On Home Improvement.
Wow.
So,
shout out Tim Allen for being
shout out to Tim Allen, right?
Y'all shooting
going from
snitches.
Informant
going
to television star.
Wow.
All right, so, Reggie, you want to talk about what you brought in this week?
Yeah. I want to play something for James. I purposely tried not to talk to James all the last few days because I wanted him to see if he heard this and play this for him and get a spontaneous response from him. So,
what is
I'm going to play this for you right now.
Shout out to all the real niggas and the hall girls out there. Fake-ass police officers, Reggie Wright, my J.R., you punks. See y'all. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Rumors. Rhyme with the dogs. Let the niggas bite the shit out of you. You hear me? But I'm out, y'all. I ain't gonna give y'all niggas no time. No nothing! You're not gonna know where I'm at!
So, James, you know, did you just hear what that little man just said to you?
Oh, man, I heard it, but to me, that's nothing. You just, man, you call me a punk? Nigga, you ain't never fuck with me like that. I can call you a punk, though. You ran from Trayvon. You ran straight into the police arms. With drugs in your pocket, you was really scared. But anyway, my whole thing is this. Dude, don't mention my name and nothing. You ain't heard James say shit. And it ain't Mob James, it's James, clown. And you ain't heard me speak on you and nobody else. If I say something, I repeat it. But you want to stick your dogs on me? Man, bring your dogs. They gonna pull back something they ain't gonna like it, and you ain't gonna like it either. You want to find me, my nigga? I'm in Beaumont Shore every motherfucking day, especially on Saturdays. I stay from the morning to night when it closed. Come on up there, Daz.
He's just doing that for social media.
I wouldn't give a fuck.
I wouldn't take it serious.
No,
James.
My whole thing is I don't talk to that dude. When that dude was at Death Row, I never, any one of those cats from the other side can say, James ain't never socialized, hung with, because I don't smoke weed. I never found a reason to go over there and hang with those cats. The only time I interacted is when I did Snoop Dogg and Suge had me out there to protect Snoop Dogg. But, Daz, you don't know me like that, dude. And why I can't find you? If you that nigga, say where you at. I know you in
San Fernando Valley.
San Fernando Valley. Yeah. Everybody know you. So, but you ain't even worth looking for, dude. I ain't even tripping. You know where I'm at. So if you want to come find me and fuck with me, nigga, I got a fishing pole in the tackle box, nigga, at the beach, nigga, chilling.
Now, for those who are just new to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, Daz Dillinger is responding to the police report or whatever we're calling that, Reggie, that you had on Bomb First and that we talked about on last week's episode, episode 25, about Snoop and Daz, I guess, running to the police during that incident back in 1998.
And it's so crazy that, you know, if this was some shit Reggie just brought up and brought the Gangsta Chronicles, I would have said, come on, is we getting down like that? Reggie been saying this
for a long, long time. And there's videos out there that Reggie has told these cats what the fuck, where they at. You know what I'm saying? So I would appreciate it if you say, Reggie. I'm riding with Reggie 100, though. Don't get that twisted. But if you hear me say something, then I'm accountable for anything I say, and I'm ready to rock and roll with anything I say. And that's anybody. That's anybody. So, little dude, your get down ain't even like that, so knock it off.
All right. Put your dogs in. I'll play another audio, too, and then we'll go in and we'll get into something else, because we're not going to belinger on these on the subject too long. But go ahead and play this one for me so y'all can hear a response from Suge Knight regarding this as well.
Snoop. Well, Snoop would never come. I mean, Snoop was on, you know, we beat a murder trial for him, but then he was on probation. Then he got caught with 2 ounces of marijuana. Then he got caught with guns. And each time, it's nothing. They're not going to violate him. Because for the street guys know what I'm talking about. There's no puzzle. I mean, if you get a guy that constantly getting in trouble and never going to come to prison, that's because he's an informant. He's a rat, a snitch, you know. And they're more important to the police on the streets than in here, because they let them know what's going on. They might say they sold by telling on 3 or 4 or 5 other guys. And, you know, I'm from Compton, and a rat is the lowest you can go. A rat will do anything.
All right, cool. So that's some audio. Most of y'all probably might have heard it before. But that was just Suge Knight's response to hearing about the paperwork that Snoop put on him back in 1998. And so I just wanted to refresh in some of y'all memories and educate some of you young motherfuckers that that don't know anything, that this paperwork's been out there. And as far as Daz with the police comment, yeah. You know, back in the 90s, I was a cop. And but you know, as much as anybody, when it came to doing some other shit, going to locations and stuff like that, when I had you niggas bitch up and PC up in Hawaii and all of that, you know, I was always the first through the door.
But the cool thing about it is, when you was running Death Row, you and Daz was kicking it.
It was cool.
You wouldn't miss the police officer then.
Yeah, exactly.
Nigga, you ought to feel bad about fucking with a cop, whether it was business or not. If you was that nigga, you wouldn't have been doing that.
Coming over to my house in the marina every morning, waking
me up. Your
damn
sure wouldn't have been going to his house.
Yeah.
So, man, say that shit. You know, niggas make themselves look bad. That's why I say it's important. What you do today, that shit gonna follow you tomorrow and every day after that. So if you don't fuck with the police, then don't fuck with them from the beginning. You ain't got to worry about this type of shit happening to you.
All right, so we're going to continue this conversation about Tekashi that we had last week. But before we start the conversation about Tekashi, there's a couple of things in the news that I wanted to touch on real quick. And this is pretty huge. On September 15th, the Florences and a bunch of East Coast Crips had a sit-down, face-to-face meeting at the old Juvenile Justice Building on 76th and Central. After about a month and a half of conversations that started in early August, to end one of the most bloodiest wars. Let me finish. To end one of the most bloodiest wars.
You sure and, it wasn't at Bethune?
No, it wasn't. No, it was at the 76th and Central. And we got Spider Loke in the house today as a guest, and I know you mentioned it on one of your videos.
Yes, I am a former member, quite a fluent, active member of the East Coast Crips myself, so I was kind of interested when I heard the fact that they met with such an egregious enemy.
So that's for real?
Yeah, it's for real. It's for real. It's a real deal.
Wow. Didn't Spider, the last, when we had you in here, you didn't think it would happen, huh?
I mean,
I mentioned it. I brought it up.
You just like suggested it could possibly happen.
I've been behind the scenes trying to work on things like this for salute.
Yeah. Because you know, I don't want to say, you know, peace is positive. Period. Yeah. You know, we are trying to prepare our environment for the next generation. So there's the legacy that we have left and have participated in. It's not what I'm trying to see continue into the future. So anytime any two powerful groups can sit down and talk about peace, I think it's a positive thing, especially when everybody knows what it started over, and the people that are involved in the war now, they did not benefit from the initial act. They have, some of them, the youngest dudes, have no even idea where it all came from. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, there's some youngsters that weren't even born in 1999.
Exactly.
That are front lining right now.
And they are the majority of those that do not want to cooperate. You know, of course, you have that energy that's not going to go with it.
That's absolutely true, Spider, because I was at a meeting. There was at least, man, I got to say, he must have been about 19, 20 years old, just mad dogging the whole time. Just like, man, like not happy that this is going on. But of course, all the older guys, 40 and over, they're facilitating the meeting.
Yeah.
You know, they try to talk to him, but I can see it's kinda, this energy that this youngster has.
I can say that I can definitely relate to both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, he ain't wrong.
Thank you. As much as what he represents is wrong, him as an individual is not wrong. That energy has to be dealt with, redirected, eliminated at all costs eventually. But when the people that raised you to be the demon you are, out of nowhere, throwing you for a curveball, you have to understand his confusion. When he's probably attended multiple funerals based on this scenario, I just know it's a real complex situation.
But we can't make, I mean, all of that is true. That's why you have, and the truces don't last, and with the Bloods and the Crips and right. The Crips against Crips, Bloods against Bloods, because bloodshed, you know, you got people killed here, people killed here, and you got some cats can't take the back or sit next to a guy that killed somebody you
right.
love. So, but in order for it to work, these guys got to understand the big picture of this and trying to truce is to stop the killing. Let's stop killing each other. Let's focus. You know what I'm saying? Because right now in the day, I don't understand why. I know everybody's seeing what Donald Trump is doing. I would stop my shenanigans just because of that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And we need to pay attention. They don't give a fuck about us. So if they don't give a fuck about us and we don't give a fuck about ourselves, sooner or later it's self-destruction. You feel me?
Yeah.
And extermination. And we don't understand that. So the OGs that's still active in the hood, I see a lot of guys on your videos that still got clout in their hood. Need to really get to the little homies that feel like that little brother do, because that little brother, he ain't wrong. He ain't misguided. He just taught to be a certain kind of way, and he representing what he believe in.
But here's the difference, though. On the Mexican side, you got them same youngsters there that feel the same way. But
exactly.
But as soon as the OG says it's over, them little youngsters
that's
on the Mexican
they got,
side
they
are with
discipline.
It.
But you got to understand, just take the mind frame of you being a young dude, 25 and under, and your road dog, all y'all have been, your whole existence in this was that killer. He dies in the midst of that. How do you disrespect the bond you have with him going against? Now, I understand the mature answer, but how do you translate to the young individual who every day with my road dog, we pledge to this? He's not here to agree with me to do the positive thing.
You translate to him like this. We got a bigger picture now.
How does he accept that himself? Like, nobody's around. It's just him, and he's thinking about his dog.
Well, he got to think about it. It's a bigger picture. We're talking about life. And if you're 25 years old, you got a brainstem. You know, okay, I gotta relate to this because I ain't getting no younger and I ain't going nowhere. We got to get out of this circle. So he got to understand, okay, I'm going to always love the hood. That shit is right here in the heart. But the bigger picture is stop.
Right, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Not just for, I mean, maybe the homie is saying, man, you see what happened to me?
From the other side, yeah, exactly.
You see what happened
exactly.
to me? I don't want this exactly. to happen to you.
Exactly.
Get out of that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And if the big homies really cherish the little homies and want to see this shit over with, stop. You get at them like that. Man, we looking at a bigger picture. Now they got to see from the beginning to the end, because this was never your fault. You was born into this shit. The war was already going on. Anything before 99, the war was already happening. And if you come after that, you doing it just because the hood is doing it.
Right.
We got to accept our losses. I lost a lot of motherfuckers right. through the gangbanging shit. But
right
now today, we got to understand, we can't bring them back. I don't want it to happen to me. I don't want it to happen to my brother and nephews. So let's cherish what's still alive.
Future, right.
Let's fix it.
Absolutely.
That's a good answer. That's the only answer.
Well, a lot of people are skeptical. Even though they had to sit down last week, there's some brothers that are a little skeptical. They're like, because the Florences reached out to the East Coasters. They're the ones that said, hey, we want a truce. So the question is, like, why now? Why all of a sudden? And also I want to throw this in that some of the Mexicans that were involved in this truce were also, these guys are in prison, were also involved in the truce between the Norteños and the Sureños. And we all know, if you've been to a California prison, you know that divide between Norteños and Sureños. And
apparently, I knew that was coming.
Let me tell you how smart they
are. I knew that was coming.
This is how smart they are.
This is a 40-year, this goes back to the 60s.
I knew, but look.
I knew that was coming.
The Mexicans is looking at Donald Trump. The Mexicans is mad the way he treating their people. So fuck the fighting. We ain't going to do this. We ain't going to look like ignorant motherfuckers.
That's a great point, actually.
I'm telling you.
I never thought about the politics.
The Mexicans, man, is they pay attention to politics. Mm-hmm. They pay attention to their family. And they saying, this motherfucker is driving us through the mud. Mexicans. So the Mexicans ain't doing how we doing it. They say, fuck that. Let's just call truce. Ain't no more this. Mm-hmm. Ain't no more that. And they doing it the right way because Donald Trump can't speak on you no more. They can't call us animals. We demand a truce. So they reach out to the brothers.
And it's like,
we in the same bag.
It's only on them. It has to come that direction because, not to use the V word, victim, in a negative sense, but when the incident comes and you were the victim in the situation, it's on you to finally say, I'm not mad no more.
Yeah.
Who are you calling the victim?
The war began because something was taken from.
Wasn't it taken from it was the Mexican stuff that was taken.
So yeah, so therefore if something was taken from you, you have been victimized.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it's on you to say, I'm no longer gonna be revenging this situation.
Got it, got
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Once I take something, it's like, however you feel, it's how you feel. I'm not gonna come to you and say, forgive me for taking now, let's piece it out.
Yeah.
So it's on them. It's only gonna come from that direction.
That's a great point,
and
actually.
They've been banging it out for a long time.
East Coast all the way.
I mean, how many people have been lost, right?
The 13, they've been banging it out for a long, long time.
I think it started in 99, so we're talking about 20 years.
Yeah, right around then. Yeah.
20 years of straight.
I used to go up to Manchester.
And people,
so you know,
they
you
lost.
Can't go on that motherfucker no more.
People have been killed on both sides every single year of this war.
Exactly.
Ain't no, like, long periods of peace.
Yeah, I think based on that incident, I think the Florences is the most black style banging gang it is.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. They probably got more hitters than any other Mexican gang in L.A., period.
That Eastie flag.
In fact, if you compare the Mexican gangs in East L.A. and the Valley to the ones in South L.A., guess which Mexican gangs are more violent?
East L.A.?
The ones in the South L.A., because they're hanging out with all the brothers, and the brothers are way more active than any of those East L.A., Boyle Heights, or San Fernando Valley gangs.
Right.
So you got 38th Street, pretty active. They bang like brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Florence.
That's the forgotten. I mean, down in the 30s and the bottoms is, woo, it's wicked, period.
It's just the mentality. How far you going to take it individually on how your banging going to be, because you got a lot of cats out there that's talking like they really with it and ain't with that situation at all. You know what I'm saying? Prime example, Daz Dillinger. it's crazy, man, how, and I'm glad the truce is there.
Right, right.
Because that put.
That's his name, James.
What is it?
Delmar Arnaud.
Well, that's the name they had.
That's his name that's in the paperwork that Reggie got on bomb first.
Yeah, well.
What was your point, though, about?
Well, it's just, man, it's time that it happened. And I'm glad it happened.
I'm so glad it's
happened,
man.
And then I'm even hearing the kitchens over there.
The kitchens.
I got history with those cats.
The kitchens and the swans are at the table.
That's cool.
Right. Salute to all that.
And I want
to
shout out Little Doc Thone from 6ix9ine East Coast.
6ix9ine
Little
Nine
Doc
seven.
Thone is the
Thank
one
good, Doc.
Pretty much that really is instrumental in the communications with the Mexicans from Florence.
I got a question for Spider.
Yes, sir.
What happens with all the law enforcement in L.A.? If the Bloods and the Crips get together and the Mexicans and the Blacks ain't fighting, what happens to their job?
Write tickets.
They be writing tickets.
Yep.
But that's the Spiders. That's
just, I remember from the 92 riots.
Running quicker than child abuse calls and
I remember
domestic violence.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember when we tried to forge peace in 92, there were reports of police officers doing drive-bys, hitting people square between the eyes at high speeds of race. So we have to realize we are up against an enemy that had utilized the law enforcement to push their agenda highly. So if we somehow stop giving them that direct action with these street wars, we're going to have to sophisticate ourselves, because they're going to still be coming at us one way or the other. We're making it a lot easier for them by out here with this trivial red-blue gangbang. We have to get beyond that, y'all.
But you got to stop.
We got to stop.
And if you do that, the police lose their jobs because
They ain't going nowhere.
They're not
going
to lose jobs that they already have.
Well, they got, but they won't. Who they going to enforce?
But one thing could happen. They don't have to expand their gang enforcement detail. They don't have to grow it.
Reassign them somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, reassign them somewhere else. Get them out
of
the neighborhood.
I hope that.
Get niggas. Make them stop killing us.
Yeah, because we build different rules from the police in our areas than everywhere else.
We have to police our fucking selves, man. Let's police ourselves.
All right, the next war that we got to fix is the one on the west side between a Mexican gang called 18th Street and the Black Peace Stones and the Rolling 20s. But here, you're going to hear it here first. Within a year, that war is going to be over.
Within a year,
that war is going to be over.
Baby karate body.
All right, so last week we had this incredible conversation about Tekashi. And since then, I mean, there's been so many developments in this guy's trial. Oh, I don't know where to start, but how about this? His personal driver was actually working for the feds the entire time. So they wired that whole car for video and audio. Mm.
Just like my dog said, he was a plant.
Had to be.
Tekashi was put there.
But Tekashi hired this guy.
But he already knew that. Bullshit.
You think Tekashi already knew?
Man, I just watched videos of Tekashi with what's the guy's name in jail now?
Shoddy.
In a robbery, in a shooting.
Yeah.
He videoing all of this shit. Man, that dude phone call.
No. Anyway, I don't know. I want to hear what Reggie got to say about the driver.
Man, let me hear what Reggie got to say.
Hold on, the driver. Dooney kidnapped
when they was asking that dude, come with us. The way he kept saying the nigga name, I'll give you anything. I think the nigga name was Marv.
Harv.
He's like, he sounded like he knew he was being recorded. Okay, Harv. Like, let you know if this go bad. You know who in here doing this to me. It's Harv.
So, Reggie, you
my bad, but go ahead.
That he was planted in the hood?
Because if so, you would have never known about it. They would have just had him taping and filming and doing all of that stuff, and you would have never heard about it until they were done with him as a snitch, and then they would have made institutional him for life. That's how you work informants.
So the question is, how did he start then?
Who, the driver?
Tekashi. How did he wind up hiring this, just somebody to drive him?
He was a clout chaser. This is what this age we in is, social media. That's all he was. He wasn't planted by the government. Now, the government had contacted him before he got arrested and was working him. And for how long, we don't know. But he knew the arrest was coming. And he knew what was going down. But he was not always an informant. I don't agree with that. And he wasn't playing in by no CIA.
So how is he holding on? So he just bidding you and shit.
Because he's stupid.
Just in case.
Clout chasers.
So now he's stupid young mother in court. And now he say, oh, I got video of this, that shooting.
Man,
that
that's
incident.
So far. Be real, but it sounds so far-fetched, bro. He said
if that was the case, they would have never exposed
him. He said he videotaped it so the world would know he was responsible for that. Like, was you really that off?
These kids are stupid.
Wow,
man.
That's crazy.
These youngsters are stupid like that.
So the driver could have just been some innocent dude that was working every day and got caught up.
He got caught up, and they turned him.
Yeah, they turned him. Yeah, I don't think the driver is part of a conspiracy. No. Right?
Oh, so the driver?
He got turned.
He got turned. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I thought he was an FBI.
No, he was ICE. He got arrested for some immigration shit or something.
Yeah, I don't even think he spoke English.
Yeah, he got, and so they turned him. But then once they realized, oh, he works with these fools. Or, you know, we've been working them for the last 2 years. We're going to turn him.
Well, it's interesting.
That might have been the only reason he got turned.
I've been looking it up and then looking at him and then, you know, him and one guy on the show was talking about Jim Jones. Cardi B. What does this do? What is his intent?
Yeah, Jim Jones was running his mouth and got caught on tape. And they went to him prior. That's why he didn't get arrested. Because he got turned. And that's why he never got brought in.
So do you think when he was having that phone call, he was aware?
No.
Oh, okay.
But they came and played it to him.
Right.
And said, this is what we got on you. We need X, Y, and Z.
So and he done gave
X, Y, A, B, C, D. That's why he wasn't on that show for a while. I was wondering what happened. Why did he just all of a sudden stop being on Love and Hip Hop? Him and his wife was the biggest two on there.
Wow.
They were going through shit then.
So you don't think that Jim Jones is going to later get charged or arrested for something?
No, they would have wrapped him up in that case if that was the case.
Okay.
Because they already had it. Yeah. If they've learned of it afterwards, then
they would have combined them in the indictment.
They arrest everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, they just decide on such and such date, we're picking up everybody. Except our informants.
Because technically, Jim Jones is making terrorist threats.
He threatened a man. Yeah. Just like if I was a snitch, guess who just did that? We just played Listen to Some Audio or something like that.
Your boy Daz.
I didn't say the name. Alex said it.
I'm just answering your question.
He's on probation right now.
For that weed.
Man, but anyway, let's move on.
Oh, in Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, remember he caught that weed case?
You know?
I think weed is more serious in Georgia than here.
You are correct to think so.
But
you went down south. Where?
Alabama.
Oh, you went to Alabama. Yeah, that's
but
right.
But not far.
Yeah.
Atlanta, yeah.
All the south is really hard on marijuana.
Yeah. Trust me, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Red
shit,
knows.
Huh?
But hopefully that's going to change because marijuana is not as a serious drug as...
The marijuana-thon continues.
Yeah. All right, so also on this Tekashi thing, I think one of you guys just mentioned... James, you mentioned the Jim Jones recording that was played in court. What was the whole purpose of playing that audio recording of Jim Jones making threats in court? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I haven't been following the case.
Why do that and he's not...
Yeah, he's not part of the case.
Part of the case.
I guess
they
just want to establish that there was a threat against 6ix9ine.
Or who was he talking
6ix9ine.
To? Is he on the
I'm not. He's
he
talking to someone else about we need to
maybe
violate 6ix9ine.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he was on the case.
He needs to be DP'd or whatever they were saying.
Whoever he was
talking
that to.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of...
Somebody named Mel something.
Yeah, and I haven't been following
that. Isn't that the same person that was speaking to the other dude on the phone, too? Tekashi was on the phone talking to him, too?
Not sure.
I might be wrong. Yeah.
But I'm thinking, wow, these guys are going to eventually get arrested, too, because they're talking some serious...
It's all about when they knew about it.
Conversation with Shotty, and I think the male nigga, too, where Shotty was talking about, I'm going to feed him. And he was telling him, the nigga on there talking about fuck Trey Way, and they was having a back and forth about what need to have. It's two phone conversations. I think the nigga male was talking to Jim Jones, and he talking to Shotty. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, some of these conversations, audio, show that there's a split in Nine Trey. The ones that was down with Shotty, and then the ones that was down with Herv or Harv. Or
something, yeah.
And I guess Tekashi sided with who? He went with Shotty.
It seemed like he was playing both sides. Like, Shotty had most control, but whenever that kidnapping allegedly was happening, he was telling the nigga, I want to be down with you, but they wouldn't give me your number and all that old shit.
Well, it was obviously when he did the second Breakfast Club interview that by then he knew something was going on.
He was charged up. Yep.
he knew what was going on because he did a 380 degree on him.
Yeah.
And so, or 360.
He realized he was playing with his life.
Well, he ain't supposed to know yet, though. He wasn't supposed to know yet. This was before he got indicted, allegedly, or arrested. That's why he knew something.
Yeah, he knew.
Yeah.
That's why he did that switch.
Because niggas done kidnapped you and all that. That was authentic.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the world you just go comfortable in front of the radio in that city talking about fuck them niggas and all that.
Exactly. But still the question is asked, is he just, he not justified in what he's doing, but with the guys that beat him up,
tortured him,
kidnapped and all that shit, there was no loyalty at that point.
But the thing about it is, from our standpoint, if it got that funky, it was time to man up and go to war.
That's what he should have did.
That's what he should have did.
And that's what I told you last week, James.
But he didn't do that.
He didn't do that.
And even if you're not built that way, you don't pull down a whole hood.
Nah.
You might
pull down one person.
You got to put responsibility based on people who allowed this dude, who was putting his head on female bodies in his most latest videos, and he was exploiting this rainbow culture. You got to blame the dudes who were standing next to this dude, accepting him and telling him them secrets and allowing him the power to even betray them. Because he should have never been qualified, bro. This dude was comfortable in that Gotti video of putting his face with them facial tattoos on a female's body with a bikini, my nigga. Come on, how do you relate to that kind of dude?
And they shouldn't have let that happen.
Not at all. If you were somehow going to try to manipulate this dude and use him to his advantage, he should have never been put in a position where he could turn around and knock your whole empire down.
Yeah.
Y'all slipped.
The Nine Treys were sloppy.
Sloppy.
That whole...
It's not... This is all over the place that...
Yes.
That Hoods is letting rappers and
I've
what's
been
the
guilty.
Word for it?
I've been guilty.
Superstars in their hood. You know what I'm saying?
We got basketball players doing it.
You got people...
Baron Davis running down.
You got people getting paid for it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Motherfuckers looking out for you, bringing you around.
Right.
Yeah. You got all those important people.
Right.
So you got to think about who you bring to the neighborhood.
And what you expose them to. They would be satisfied with a lot less. Just to be affiliated, they are satisfied. For y'all to try to really give them so much, rest in peace to the late great. But because he was overexposed and over-involved, we no longer have Mr. Shakur. And that's what happens. You over-implicate somebody. You over-involve them, and they have no idea. And just because they're not scared, they'll jump out there and not realize this wave is a lot more stronger than you thought it was.
Exactly.
And that's what I meant last week when I put Tupac Shakur. I said there are parallels. Somebody hit me up saying, why would you compare Tupac and Tekashi? I just said there's some parallels between Tekashi, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and all these dudes that don't really understand what they're jumping into.
I had to go and bomb first to fix this.
Pac understood. Tupac I got to clear that up.
I know. I'm not talking about what you saw, Mom.
I'm talking about what he talking about.
He didn't understand Tupac LA gang culture. He didn't understand.
He's from a hood. He didn't understand that gang part, but he's from a hood, and so he knew it was some ghetto shit.
How he gonna know he was in LA for a few months?
Reggie, this ain't hard to figure out.
He was around some dudes that was showing you what it was.
Man. No, ghetto ain't ghetto.
What Tupac did was somebody that was born and raised in the mob. If they was on, shoulda, woulda did. But I guarantee you, if Pac had not been a new booty to the game, your homies probably would have seen Baby Lane. It would have been some dissing. And niggas would have been on some, I don't believe the real authentic niggas would have got that active in that environment. Even if they seen each other, flicked each other off and dissed, it wouldn't have went that far. The fact that you had somebody that wasn't immediately from our culture involved, who wasn't no punk, who wasn't scared, and he wanted to show the niggas he was with that was the fact, that's why you had to go to such a high level, I think.
You're talking about what happened at the casino lobby?
Well, saying what James said, is because he couldn't go back letting know a rapper did that to him talking about Baby Lane.
But Tupac was such a real nigga that, when you come around a pack of wolves and you want to be accepted, Some niggas just want to be accepted.
He
wanted to earn it.
He didn't need to do that, though. He has done it in Atlanta. Every time he reacted like that. That's how he reacted.
And my whole thing was, Orlando was a Compton cat. All the niggas from the mob, same place, Compton cat. The homies should have took care of that cat because Trayvon had that. I'm just saying, Tupac shouldn't have been in it. But he got in it because he felt a part of these dudes.
Right, exactly.
So he took the initiative. Like in every state you just said.
That he would have did.
Nobody denied the fact that Tupac wouldn't win it. And Tupac take off on the motherfucker. Nobody denied that. Yeah. He did it in all these different places.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, now you got a different fucking element and some different cats.
Calls. Yeah.
He took off on the cat.
So now we're saying niggas in Atlanta won't come back and retaliate? Is that what
no,
we're
I ain't said
that's
that.
That's not the point.
I ain't said that.
It's what you try to say. I only try to say because the homie was a Crip. He was dealing with some legendary energy, bro. Some shit that wasn't going. It was going to go that way regardless of who the other. Look how the man died, bro.
He died. I think dudes in Oakland would have retaliated like that. I really believe dudes in a lot of the 21 territories hood would have retaliated like that.
In all those places, bro. You didn't have two sections who already had such tension building up. It was like the icing on the cake with him coming. Lakewood Mall? Who is going to cross paths that don't like each other there other than them two groups?
And how many times we had incidents at the Lakewood Mall all different type of Crips.
Thank you.
Not just the South
Side. So cliques or whatever y'all want to call them out of state, they don't have issues at
malls. We ain't talking about out of state.
I'm just telling you that niggas have problems like that and they clash.
But Suge Knight ain't they big homie. You got to think the time frame it was in, what Death Row meant to the world. Well, all that played a part in everything. That was the perfect story,
so,
bro.
It's basically just the gang mentality. Just a gang mentality. You see Bloods. You see Crips. I'm going to play it out. What's happening, Blood? What's happening, cuz? Right. And we get in it. That's how it goes at the mall. Cerritos Mall, Hard Thumb, where I don't care what mall you're in. I don't care if it's Venice Beach or whatever.
I think we devalue other cliques or whatever.
No. A lot of, we just said last week, there's thug niggas in every motherfucking state, county, city.
And I think they click up like that, too.
Okay,
they have a problem.
But I'm not saying that. If they clicked up like that, you got a fucking Blood that just had a fight with a nigga at the Lakewood Mall.
Correct.
That nigga, you spotted him first.
Well, then we should be mad at Trey, not Pop.
Ain't nobody, see, Reggie, you putting words
in
your mouth.
Okay, go ahead.
Who said they mad at Pop?
Huh?
Then I'm going to go Pop first again.
That's what everybody thinking.
No,
that's
I just straightened that out on your
I know
shirt.
That, but I'm Pop, trying to.
All right. Reggie got a whole
congregation that's going to be looking
for him to
support. I don't want nobody to get me twisted about Pop. What I'm saying about Pop, Pop done handled his business on so many different occasions in different cities, states, or whatever. At the MGM, I say that situation was totally different because the man that had the incident is already a thug nigga. The guy he had the problem with is right there. So he should address that situation and the homies take that ass. Mm. This is some gangbanging shit. This is what we own.
And now this is, and let me just
say this all I'm saying. We own some gangbanging shit.
Trayvon's position on that, James, is that he was coming back to his big homies, meaning Neckbone, Buntry, and Shug, to inform them.
If a 40-year-old nigga got asked, can I fight that dude, then he don't need to be in the
hood.
How old
you say?
35.
He's 22 at the time. Trayvon was 21, 22.
No, I'm talking about now.
Okay, well, we're talking about this incident.
Okay, even at 22.
I'm just telling you his position, James.
Of what?
Reggie,
in the hotel?
You was where? You done heard Trayvon say this position?
No, I'm talking about in the hood. We ain't got no damn rules where
I'm just telling you what
he's
saying.
Go to the, I know what you're telling me.
Okay.
But and I'm here to set that record straight.
I'm gonna tell you what he's saying.
And then okay.
I'm not saying he's right or wrong.
Me and you hanging together.
Okay.
You done ran into a cat that you was a police officer and y'all had a fight. Now you see him, I see him. Should I take off on this motherfucker? You gonna take off on him, and then I'm coming after that
ass.
But
I may come to you and say, James, I'm about to go off on this nigga right now. You with me?
Well, that's what he should have said.
That's what he's saying. He said he was asking his big homies.
Who? Pop?
No.
Trey
saying he was asking his big homies, Buntry, Neck, and Shug.
You know the cool thing about
is
it
what
is,
he's saying.
I know Trayvon is with it. I was in the jailhouse with
Shout
Trayvon
out my nigga Trey, man,
and watched him fight.
and he did his thing as a little homie. Yeah. He did his thing. See, everybody be, they listen, and then they try to take away from what you're saying. What I'm saying is, if you live in that game-banging life, and a man jump you, and you see that man again, there's no questions asked. You jump in that ass, I'm finna go fight.
Period.
Now, the odds are even in your side, because you got 14, 15 other cats right there. As soon as they see the squabble, it's on. It's on. And I'm only saying, Tupac Shook should have grabbed that dude by his shirt.
Yes. He didn't know he was going to take off like that.
Okay, well, he probably didn't.
But regardless, even after the fact, the spirit was wrong because, shout out to the homie, he went and participated. So he wasn't on the page of not knowing, because when you saw him, you should have been like, get pop, tell us, get him, grab it, or go to grab
him. They grabbed him. As soon as he took off, and then they grabbed him off him. They got him off of him, so and they took over it. They got Pac out. As soon as he ran up there, Pac got yanked out the way.
Shook had no business participating either.
Nope. Shook gets paid, but Shook.
That's
Shook,
what happened when you start gang banging your 30s. Thing.
And he wasn't. If you want to know the real, he was breaking it up.
Oh, he just slipped his foot. Yeah. Slipped.
Don't start. Don't start that shit. Now, don't start that shit. Okay. The video showed him kicking the motherfucker.
He wasn't kicking like Bunch.
Man, Shook going to do. No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't kicking like that.
Okay, don't. You ain't got to. What's going on?
Everybody's seen that video. Shook was
doing. Wait a minute. Just like Tupac. Shook was doing his mob motherfucking thing too.
Yep, keep it real.
Tell me he ain't. Tell me he wasn't.
He said.
Shook done grab niggas by their throat. Shook done fire
niggas.
Oh, yeah,
but we're talking about that incident.
Shook done help black niggas down. I'm talking about period.
Okay,
all of
now you're going period. We were talking about that incident.
No, there. I think Reg has a point. Maybe Shook just did one kick just so that people can say he was a part of it, but not wanting to be a part of it.
No.
He snuck one in.
He snuck one in.
He snuck one in.
It's hard not to do. When you amongst your own, it's hard not to do,
but he was smart enough not to be going wilding out like the rest of them were.
But didn't he get violated for that?
Yeah.
One move, I remember.
And the judge said, took him 13 times on the bench before to determine that he made a kick. That's how sneaky that kick was.
Okay, I mean, I don't want to rehash, you know, Tupac's
situation.
Yeah, I ain't getting emotional. The only thing that gets me there to say that, because I understand what you're saying. If Pac was, if it would have been like a conversation, I'm about to go over there and get that motherfucker. I'm about to go get him. And then, Pac, go get him or something like that. Then I agree with you. Well, see, Pac just took off.
Trey made it sound like.
Don't have me ask this question.
Trey made it sound like this to me. He
you
said,
say, go ahead.
Let's Spider finish this point.
This is the way Trey explained it to me. He said, throughout the time that the beef had been brewing, the nigga Pac had got used to hearing Orlando name. And then when they was in that in that lobby, somebody said, there we go right there. And Pac just
took off.
When he said, there we go right there. When he said, there we go right there, it's 100 people right there.
Yeah
but he just signed his death certificate right at that moment.
But you never seen his face.
That's deep. When you can look back from that point and then start.
Because somebody should have known Baby Lane's resume and said, this is not the place to do it. And then you're driving around, hanging out the car, moments after, like everything is hunky dory.
We don't see no evidence of them hanging out the car.
That's what the witnesses that were on that street.
With the entourage?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't hanging out. Because the pit, that's what Keithy D said.
Mm. And the girls said the same thing.
They said he hollered and called them.
But the girls that pulled up on the side said the exact same
thing. They just said that they were hollering Pac, or the girls was hollering.
They said Pac was hanging out the car.
No, they didn't. They didn't say that. That's okay. Keithy D that always says.
No, there were three girls in that car. Two of them did an interview about two years ago.
They didn't say he was hanging out. He just said he invited them to club, told them to follow him, follow them to the club.
But you know how easy it is for that small detail to be hanging out a little bit, talk to him out the window.
Come on, follow us. Yeah, follow that's us. A simple.
He was doing enough to be noticed by other people driving around.
Hey, that's KVD version.
I told y'all to question the cat gangster because he said he couldn't shoot from the driver's side. What gangster can't? Mm. So, I mean, you got four cats in the car and three of them said, I don't want the gun. So Orlando was the only rider in that motherfucker. Keefy D got the pistol right here. All he got to do is tell the driver, bend down, you go over his shoulder and pop, pop, pop. Talking about, I would have done it if I was on that
side.
That's
not what he said. That's not what he said.
Oh, man.
I never listened to what he said. I'm going to have to listen to it just to be up on it.
He said at the place, at the 7-Eleven or whatever, he gave the gun to his nephew, to Orlando. He said they were on that side, so he was trying to pass the gun to Big Dre. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take the gun from Dre. So Orlando reached across him and fired the shots.
is what he
KPD
said.
KPD said if he was on my side, I'd have shot him.
If he was on his side.
That's what I just said. You said he didn't say that.
No, you said you got to question this gangster because he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't have the opportunity. Okay, well,
man, we done talked about this discussion many times, and I mean,
and I'm not trying to take up for him. I'm just saying.
I just
know it's people out there that be fact checking, and
I'm just saying there's parallels. For all these rappers that want to involve themselves in street shit and end up something happening. You know, Pac should have stuck to rap, just like Tekashi should have just stuck to the music, stuck to the rap, stayed away from the Nine Trey stuff. But of course, he wanted to get himself involved, just like a whole bunch of other rappers do.
You can't replace the Tupac.
Nah, you can't. He was a treasure back then.
You can't replace him.
He was a one-of-a-kind back then.
My mama.
And he should have been nowhere around that stuff.
Well, he gonna be around it because Tupac fit in.
Y'all wanna make people bitches and shit.
Why he gotta call him?
He shouldn't be nowhere around it. What do you mean?
I mean,
nobody gotta be a bitch because of that.
No, listen. I said the same thing about Nip. Nip should have been standing out, hanging out on Slauson and Crenshaw.
He wasn't posting. Yeah. He was coming to his place of business. I believe
on that day.
Yeah, on that day.
But you have hung out and went and
in the past.
And yeah, but
I don't know if he hung up since he's been a business owner.
Any day,
hanging didn't cause his detriment.
No, it didn't.
It was involving himself verbally in politics.
He
could have been right there all day and not engaged in that conversation and never.
But if he wasn't there, he wouldn't have had that conversation.
That's not true necessarily.
You
have gangbangers worldwide. How do you can just guarantee he won't encounter that cat elsewhere and have that same conversation?
Exactly. But the choices we make, I mean, just there like Suge. Suge had options to, like, stay away. And don't nobody know where he ate because he had multiple spots.
Wait a minute, Reggie, let me finish.
Spots. He had multiple spots. So if Suge wanted to interact, he could have had motherfuckers meet him here, meet him there like he normally do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to come to the hood. You don't have to put yourself in a situation, especially when you live in a different way. Everybody in the hood is trying to find a way out that motherfucker. Out that motherfucker. But when you find your way out the motherfucker, you find your way back in it. And then we have situations, am I right?
You're right.
And then that's what takes us down. Yeah. You don't have to come back to the hood to feed the motherfucker.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to. I made it out this motherfucker.
Why do you think that our music is the only seemingly black successful group of people who had that burden? Like, they can't shake the hood. Basketball, football, everybody get gone. I'm gone. Why is it about this rap?
Well, some rappers do. I think Snoop.
No, I know some.
Snoop disconnected himself from Long Beach
for a while. The man, the Long Beach niggas just made that nigga Snoop check in a couple years ago and do all. Yeah, so we don't want to use a bad example for an example. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious as to why is it so prevalent in the hip-hop community, period. Even though all don't participate, why do we see so many examples? Mossberg died being not separated from his success.
But that's truly living that life. You know what I'm saying? But and that goes back to the choices that we make when we get up out of here. Go ahead, Reg.
No, I'm just going to respond to not what you said.
I just wondered if anybody had any input as to why they think it's like that.
Because of things that, like, I seen you on IG one time do. When niggas check your G car, what did you go do? You went to high schools. You went walking around. You went showing everybody. Nigga, what you mean? I can't be there.
And what you mean?
And for me personally, I can speak for myself and explain my motivation. I don't know nothing but those environments.
So that's what their defense was.
Some people, like we spoke of earlier, and I know these are like extreme cases, the Chris Brown, the Soulja Boys, they don't know those areas.
Yeah.
They're breaking their neck to get there and familiarize themselves with an affiliate. Like, when you say, you ain't supposed to, I don't know nothing else. And it might come across like a nigga trying to do some extra stuff, but when I went to the high school, guess what? I was going to my son's football game. Just happened to be in the area that this dude was speaking on, and I went there, but I was going to be there regardless of my interaction with that dude. So it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know.
But you made us know. Nigga, I can go anywhere.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, nigga,
thank
don't you. Tell me where yeah, I can't
thank
go.
You.
I just choose not to.
Understandable. Yeah. Understandable.
Thank you.
But, yeah, man, it's just the choices that we make. You know what I'm saying? And we ain't made it out the hood. But if I make it out of here, I know how to get back without being there.
Mm. Yeah. Thank
I
you.
I know how to get back. And that's our problem because we think it's all glamour and all this, and we like that exposure and to feel a certain kind of way when the homies come to you and want to embrace and lock. You don't need that. You can do all that and give back without being in the hood and putting yourself there, without even having the police think about how you getting down. Take a couple of the homies out the hood and show them this and show them that. That's giving back. Now, them two homies come back to the hood and swoop up some more. Yeah. And we out of it. But to come back is to rub shit in people's faces pretty much. And then now we get caught up in the same motherfucking ditch that was dug for other people.
And somebody out that pack gonna want more of what you got than what you trying to share.
And then when you quit giving it to them,
it's a problem.
Now it's time to fuck this nigga. Yeah. Woo, woo, woo. Man, it's an old saying, man. I climb up that ladder and you got a motherfucker down at the bottom of the ladder grabbing you by your ankles, pulling you down.
Pulling you down.
Yeah. So we just got to think better than what we're doing when we get this money. We look like fucking idiots rich because the white boys ain't accepting you anyway, whether you got the money or not. You know what I'm saying? So we take our money and we fuck it off foolishly. Females, and you want to go buy a $500,000 car, you can do something else. Go somewhere and relax. But one thing I learned dealing with Suge, rich people are very unhappy. They don't have too many friends. So they find something to do. Either they go chasing drugs or they go chasing and find somebody and they don't mind that person getting them. Rich people they all fucked up.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. Money don't bring happiness to your life at all.
Exactly.
Even though most people believe that.
But we gotta get better with ourselves, though.
One of my youngest, most he come from royalty, damn near. He's half white, half Japanese. Never wanted for nothing. Grew up in a pool house. Just committed suicide. He was a transplant in America from Arizona. Been living out here like 10 years. In these Hollywood laws, paying high rent, modeling, doing everything you can want to do, and he just domed himself.
He's black?
White mixed with Japanese.
Okay.
So just to go to your point that, you know, having everything we think we want don't necessarily solve that problem.
How many homies you had in the hood that mom and daddy was rich, but they still wanted to be from the hood and gangbang and wind up in a penitentiary? How many cats you arrested like that? You don't have to do it, but you just section. Fucking...
You know, my hood got a whole city worth of that.
But just do it. Yeah. You don't have to live like that. Why do you put yourself in that situation? Just like rich kids. Ain't nothing happening in Beverly Hills. All the excitement is at Fremont. I want to go up there and
y'all
hang
hit
out.
To that white boy that was claiming 9-0 from Palos Verdes? Y'all ever talked about him?
Terrell.
I ain't hip to his name.
Yeah, his name is Terrell.
He really got put on and all that.
I actually got a chance to meet him and chop it up with him. Wow. He actually wasn't even living in Palos Verdes. He left his family's house because of the same thing we're talking about. His mom and his father were the most depressing married couple, and he had to deal with that. So at the age of 15, he met this black kid, and he moved in with this black kid, and he called that kid's mom his new mom. Yeah. And then one day, that kid says, "Hey, let's go up to Sportsman Park. I'm about to get put on. You should get put on with me."
Wow.
So he gets put on. Well, he's been living in South LA for like 2 years now, but he's still going to school in Palos Verdes. So he actually got put on, was doing everything.
But the parents got money.
Parents got money.
Oh, he came out squeaky clean.
The parents own a beautiful house in Palos Verdes.
He took some niggas around the corner. They jumped out, did they stiff, jumped back in his car, and just like a million other niggas, he didn't get washed like every other driver we heard about all our life.
Yeah, but I got to add this, though.
Then he put up his mom. Daddy ended up putting up the bill to get him out.
Yeah, he ended up bailing out.
Yeah.
But the laws have recently changed on the culpability of drivers. I've worked on two cases in 2018 where, similar to Terrell's case, and then we found not guilty on both of them.
Yeah.
A dude from Five Deuce Hoover, Samaj Welsh from Five Deuce Hoover was a driver. And the jury found him not guilty. And then Terrell gets found not guilty right after. I expected him not guilty. Because you could argue as a driver, I did not know they were going to do that.
That is so brand new.
And it is.
No, it's happening. And a lot of guys, it's called 19 or something like that. They, a lot of cases getting overturned now for that. When the felony murder rule is pretty much getting kicked out. That's why I always wondered about Michael DeRoe case.
Free Mike DeRoe. Big Ali, and little.
Ali might get out on that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm your crimey that don't, and you get killed. Yeah, they can't get at the meat.
Exactly.
Shout out Lil Wild, man.
We got a lot of cases.
So I want everyone to know, I wasn't surprised that Terrell was found not guilty. I was expecting him to be found not guilty, as I expect every driver who claims, I did not know what these dudes were going to do.
Yeah. Mm.
They have to prove that you as a driver was part of the homicide. And if they can't, you walk in. Yeah. So that's
there
the
should
law.
Be a lot of retro releases.
There should be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people got convicted.
Indeed.
Just there was people sleeping in the back seat not knowing what's going on getting convicted.
Right. That nigga Mozzie got one of my favorite lines recently. Say, the driver like, how I get all this time? You had to act the role in the commitment of a crime. Like,
well, I remember just back in the days, the passenger in the back seat, they let them go all the time.
Wow. Off of G-Rise.
With G-Rise, and G-Rise. If I had a pistol, and the driver and the passenger of the front seat went. The backseat passenger, they let them go home.
Yeah, but ever since the gang enhancement, 186.22, which started getting prosecuted in the 2000s, everybody's getting charged in the car.
I heard that was, they got some new laws that's taking that gang enhancement shit away, too. Is that true?
No, the gang enhancement is still in effect. Okay. You know, I just got a case today.
Well, every gang law we find ourselves trying to get around, they find a way to lock it down again. Another way to lock it up.
No, 186.22 is the gang enhancement.
The terrorist threats.
The gang enhancement, it is if you do a crime for the benefit, the direction, or an association of a street gang, that's the allegation, 186.22. All right, but another thing on the 6ix9ine, it just brings up, he ain't the first one, and he ain't the last person of hip-hop, of rap, to tell.
Well, if everybody keep it 100, man, telling is the beginning of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This ain't the beginning of it. I mean, way back in the days. I mean, you got cats walking around that got down like that, and it is what it is.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But
at least that back then, those dudes were ostracized from the neighborhood. They didn't come back.
Well,
you didn't
see
them for a long time.
Back then,
they moved way out to the valley somewhere.
Listen, back then, a motherfucker could get on the stand and point you out, yeah, that's him in that blue uniform. That was telling what Dekashi is doing now. Just like the feds. The feds, you don't got that. If you go to trial, you're going to get 35, 40 years. They throw that at you. Who want to do 30, 40 years and lose with an all-white jury? So they take the motherfucking plea, and then now whoever telling on him ain't got to go to court. You know what I'm saying? So they take it. They take that away from you. But just like, It's hard to explain, and by Reggie being a police officer, Reggie probably can explain it better because the laws has changed, and it's totally different how the get down used to be to where it is now. But it's this shit been existing for years, so who can say this dude that dude?
And it's
that
not
dude?
Just in the rap industry. I mean,
no, it's not.
We got the dude Alpo from out there in New York.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention Alpo last week.
We got so many people.
Who was that?
Just a dude that was a killer.
He told on Wayne Perry. Yeah. Wayne Perry was his hitman.
From D.C.
Harlem drug dealer, went down to D.C.
Is that the Paid in Full stories?
No. Yeah, the Paid in Full stories. Yeah. And Alpo just ended up telling. And he was one of the hardest, most down dudes from Harlem.
And he heard about and years, and
so Mickey Barnes.
Mickey Barnes.
Mickey Barnes is another one.
As far as the gangsters, it's like they always end up telling.
He's from New York, right?
Yeah.
Even in New Jack City, the main gangster. I heard niggas rap, call himself Nino Brown. That nigga told. Like, gangsters always tell.
Well, Nino Brown was cool.
Well, he's from Detroit.
Yeah. Well, John Gotti never told. Mm. That mofo never told.
Well, he thought he was a real. And then when you're at the top of the indictment, they don't want you to tell.
Yeah, you have no out
anyway. That's
why
I always have people say me. Yeah. I say, motherfucker, I was at the top of the motherfucking indictment. Mm.
Actually, I had a case here about 4 or 5 years ago. The guy at the top of indictment actually became the informant for everybody that was under him.
That worked for him?
Yeah, it was a 38th Street case.
Oh, I ain't never heard of
that. The top guy actually ended up rolling.
So where did he put Tekashi? Is he one of the top guys, or he just one of the bottom cats? Just
right. Who they really want? I never saw the indictment, so that's a good question. He's just probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
I think that they wanted Shoddy.
Yeah. it's mostly other guys, because there's a whole bunch of other guys that haven't played out yet, right?
Yeah, and then the two guys that are on trial, they took it to trial. So they're going to get all day.
40, 45 years.
Yo, that's what this case is, the one that Tekashi testified on.
Two, about 20 or 25 guys. There's only two guys that's on trial.
I'd take the deal.
Yeah, you post two.
If you're offered the deal, though.
Yeah, if you funky in the game, man, you dirty in the game, man, you know this part of it, bro. You better know when to jump on the deal.
Exactly.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But this is the cool thing about
some
the whole
say
thing.
You don't even get
everybody the asking the question.
Which is not true.
Can 6ix9ine come home and just be a regular cat now?
Hey, Alpo. I heard Alpo's walking around Harlem.
Man, I'm telling these little youngsters, man.
People's get down.
Only thing I can say, the closest relatable case I can find is Clifford Harris, T.I. He sat on the stand on behalf of the prosecution for about 45 minutes in a murder case where the suspect received 63 years after T.I. started the incident at a venue shortly from the location. And we see how prominent he still is in the hip-hop situation.
Puffy, what's your eye?
Wow. See, I don't know. I was kind of. I don't know the details. But I do.
You're talking
know.
About the shooting with J-Lo?
Yeah. Remember, yeah,
back in '99. Yeah.
They were together.
Wow. But see, Puffy from a different thing than T.I. I cannot go on the internet and find Puffy.
Now, why
Puffy
you
saying
T.I.? Didn't T.I. testify against the guys that killed his homie?
Yes, but at the same time, T.I. is on the internet saying I stick by the G code. I've never heard Puffy pledge to live by the G code.
Correct.
So you know, it's at least in his defense. I know that there are civilian citizens, business owners that will report and testify. And if he falls in that classification, none of my business at this point.
He's actually chiming in on Tekashi, talking about, I can't believe that guy snitched.
Oh.
And T.I. I thought about you.
Yes, I saw that video. Mr. Harris, that is...
Okay, but do T.I. got paperwork on that?
We need, you know what? I saw T.I. sit on the stand with my own eyes for over 45 minutes telling the incidents. I know everything that happened. I never read anything. I know because Clifford Harris told the open court on behalf of the prosecution in this guy's murder trial. I watched him walk past the suspect when he first walked in court and cut his eye and looked like he didn't want to really look at the nigga. Then he sat on the stand, raised his hand, gave his oath, talked about a few of his businesses, talked about the night he was at this venue. There was an altercation in the club with some locals. When he left the venue, an altercation he started by not trying to allow some boss niggas in the VIP. And these was niggas that could buy the club. And when they realized he was trying to be funky, T.I. is somebody, his entourage, is responsible for throwing money on the niggas like trying to floss. And down the road, it got funky. Yeah. Yeah. All I say is this. I don't have a personal campaign against anyone. I just like to speak the facts, and I am aware of the situation. In order to vindicate your name, bro, just upload that HD footage. Why you got me out here sounding like a fool when you know you... If you're not ashamed of what you did, just upload your testimony, then you can be vindicated.
So how did you see this video?
It was readily available on the internet for about, like 10 years ago.
Okay. Me, yeah, because this was in 2007 case.
That it happened, yes. Yeah. And at the time, I was in the Blue Room in North Hollywood. Everybody that came to the studio, I'd be like, look. And we all seen it. I seen it multiple times. I know that.
Everybody forget we used to have Court TV back in the day.
I used to love Court TV.
Was on Court TV. His whole trial was on Court TV.
So did this footage of T.I. kind of get scrubbed off the internet?
You cannot find any more than like a 1 minute segment. But it was not a cell phone camera. It was not any personal camera. This was television news broadcast. So I know you might have a way of scraping archives, getting in contact with networks. It was in the local Ohio station where the local place happened, and it was the news camera. It was crispy clear.
All you really got to do is just get the transcript from the case and just...
And that's what he keeps challenging everybody to do, because, look, and no one has done it, and you know he's intelligent, and he knows no one's going to go find him no paperwork. But we're in a paperless society. Every bill that I owe, they're offering me to go paperless. I hate papers. So, guess what? He was ahead of his time with his telling, because we have HD footage. But for him to go around the country and to keep addressing these snitch rumors and trying to justify himself without uploading that testimony, you're a fraud. If you want to vindicate yourself and to vindicate your participation in that murder trial, just put up the footage and then we'll all know what you did. As long as you hide that footage, we know you have something to hide, Mr. Harris.
Well, I know that I watched your show on it and it seemed pretty convincing. T.I. spoke, and there's a lot of people that believe it. And guess what? T.I. just came out with a new podcast called Expeditiously.
What was the first subject?
And in society and culture category, it was ranked number one.
What was the first subject he addressed when he opened that thing? Snitching. And he did not mention his recorded testimony. Killer Mike, I don't know what.
That's his boy.
And you sitting right next to this dude. So... Am I lying about him sitting on the stand on behalf of the prosecution in a murder trial where the suspect received 63 years? Or am I keeping it a Google? Are those facts or is that fiction?
Well, I think you bring up a great point, because I think Tekashi's going to end up in the same situation as T.I. He's going to have business relationships. People are going to say, yes. Hey, I got an opportunity to make money with this guy because he is worth something.
Yes.
And when he comes home, Reg says maybe 10. I say maybe 3.
Say 7.
Maybe 7. Life is going to continue.
And T.I., you owe him. You owe him a situation. You owe him acceptance. You owe him an embrace. Well, he is of your kind.
What about Doggy Dog? He's been on him more than T.I.?
See, I didn't actually see Doggy Dog participate and sit on the stand.
Correct.
I saw T.I. sit on the stand, testify, tell everything. I saw it more than once because I was so intrigued by it. Everybody that came to my studio, I would show them. So I showed so many people it once. Where I saw it tons of times. It was in the same period of time when Two Girls, One Cup was popping.
Oh. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I could never watch that, though.
It was hard to find.
Well, every time I saw somebody watching and saw their reaction, I said, I'm good.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I don't even need to watch Two Girls, One Cup.
You know what you missed then. You missed it, yeah.
I don't know what I missed, but I was like, nah, I'm good.
Dimes
I don't even want to watch
zeros.
That.
You watched some dimes being some negative zeros. Yeah.
I got to remember, too.
That was the MySpace days, too.
Back then, he was able to... film. Well, he filmed a
Crime Stoppers commercial.
No, he filmed a video in the jail while he was in jail.
Well, maybe we could have one of the Gangster Chronicles fans go out there and get the transcript, because I'm curious. Get the transcript for Clifford Harris's case. I know he was arrested in 07. I don't know when the trial started, but
2 years later.
Okay, maybe
after he got found with them guns, he finally decided to cooperate because he was holding out, and they were like not going to trial because they felt like without his testimony, they didn't have enough to hang these dudes. So they kept trying to behoove him to participate, and I know you was keeping it to the G-code. You wasn't messing with him. Then he got caught with them guns. You got caught in a pinch. You said they was going to take $3 million from you, and they was going to take your freedom. So you had to figure out something to do. I understand.
Well, maybe somebody can find that video or produce the transcripts, because I'm curious myself. And I'm not so much because I got anything against T.I., but I just heard him speaking against Tekashi. Like, Tekashi was the worst thing ever. And I'm like, wait.
Well, he is.
I agree, but, dude, you did the same thing.
Yes, exact same thing.
So how can you speak on that, you know?
Exact same thing.
But, you know, I think sometimes when you speak enough on something, you can kind of get people to forget that it ever even happened. And I think maybe that's what T.I. is trying to do, because this case is over 10 years, 10 years old. And
well, most people don't know about it.
Yeah, most people don't even know about it.
I feel cursed to be seemingly the only person with a somewhat of a public voice that is convinced or remembers it. It feels like a curse.
No, you just the only one that don't mind speaking.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all that is.
Thank you.
Shit, I'm sure. I bet Killer Mike knows all of this.
You have to, Killer Mike. Come on, Crippa Cola.
But that's his business partner.
I mean, but are you about the business of business, or are you about the business of betterment and integrity of the people and the culture, as if you like you portray, bro? Because if we're going to let T.I. sit on the panel of our spokespersons, we know damn well when they present him with some pressure, he'll fold. He said he stick by the G-code. That mean I ain't got nothing to say. When he said that they was threatening his money and his freedom, he broke. He told.
Now, I think what we spoke about last week regarding the paperwork on Snoop, that's snitching, but not the same type of snitching we're talking about. Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I mean, yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
with
you don't
that.
Know what it could lead to.
You don't know what it could happen. And we don't know what it did lead to, as far as him telling, because snitching is the incorrect word. That's not the correct word, because it's a lie. So I don't know
what
the
correct
word.
Yeah, because what he was snitching on wasn't even
the
true.
The word snitching has become as commercial and as generic as the word gangster. So you have to really almost break down what you mean when you say the word snitch down there.
Well, he made a statement to the police to implicate somebody in a homicide, but that it wasn't even true.
That's extreme. Oh, well, I mean, if it wasn't true, but the person was at risk of being
correct.
Exactly. It's all bad. It's all bad. That's boo-boo.
Yeah.
That ain't cripping.
Now, in a lot of cases that I work on.
And it was a person that just paid for him to beat a murder case 2 years prior to that.
Well, if we want to just go by, you know, we do feel like we fell for a failed institution. And right now, my spirit is just reminded of a cliche that is more popular than gangsterism, period. And it's all is fair in love and war. And it just let us know we just set ourselves up. Like, you going into the war with rules.
Well, Snoop Dogg is doing his thing. And then here this is. Now, is people giving a fuck about what he did?
Nope.
Nah. But I do think the way he was speaking in that video about knocking out Trey, you don't do that. If especially if it's not true, just keep your mouth shut and do your hip hop stuff.
He wears French tips.
I watched the video with Dad saying that he was flipping Suge and beat up Reggie. Yeah. Now let me explain this. And I say this: if a motherfucker in the hood next to you and can't keep it 100. And said, nigga, why the fuck you going there on Vlad and lie, then you ain't doing him no justice. Dad's no motherfucking well he can't even lift Suge to flip him. Dad's no motherfucking well he ain't finna touch Reggie nor Suge without being touched himself. This is a situation you got to do at the same time.
It didn't even sound sincere when he was saying it, right?
No, but look, if you're not going to do Suge and then come back and then still work with Reggie.
Right.
You're not going to do either or that way. So you had to touch them both at the same time. This is how niggas lie. Your gangster ain't that. It ain't that. Yeah. So don't even put yourself out there and lie.
But I understand why Daz is mad.
Why?
I had just put him out
there. I don't care. You don't lie like that.
Woman, I had just put out there this woman was sleeping around with
you. But still, don't make yourself look like a fool over no pussy, man. Yeah. If she fucking Suge, that ain't your pussy. That's your pussy when y'all at the house.
Yeah.
When she in the street, that's everybody.
Well, I totally understand why he's mad.
No, fuck that.
I said it was right, but I understand.
That. Keep it 100, though. You know what I'm saying?
No, I overstand.
If you get down like that, then that's how you get down.
Because I've got
Reggie and Suge going to say that.
Go ahead, Spider.
No, I've gotten involved in public, I would say, character assaults where I'm discussing an individual, he's discussing my character. Every time somebody got something negative to say about me, it's untrue. if I'm going to battle you, discuss something about you, I'm going to go for the facts. If I have a reason why I don't approve of your character, it's because something that's actually true about you, and that's what I'm going to point to. I'm not going to lie about you. If you're a worthy opponent, you're a worthy opponent. You're somebody that's about the business. But if for some reason we on the opposite side of an issue, it's your fault.
Now, can Tekashi come back in about 5 years and resume his music career?
Of course.
Of course.
I think he is.
Of course. It's people. Yep. It's people that do what Tekashi do and come back to their neighborhood and pursue their gangbang career. So the industry is not gangbang.
I told y'all.
I don't see that.
T.I. did it. That's what I'm saying. About 50%. If you had seen T.I. on the stand, you would know why I'm feeling like this. You didn't see it, so you like maybe or maybe not.
Well, see, you're looking at cash.
Yeah, lose 50%.
You're looking at cash with money. With money, I don't have to go back to the hood.
Yeah.
Y'all saying Tekashi is going to actually go back to the boroughs and say,
oh, I don't know about
I'm
the
home.
Boroughs. He asked me, can he come home and have a music career?
Yeah. That's a big difference.
He don't have to go to the boroughs. He anywhere.
Yeah, he probably won't come back to Brooklyn right away.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, he will come back to Brooklyn at some point.
You think he'll go to Brooklyn and do a show?
Alpo's in Harlem. Okay, but most of the people in Harlem don't even care about Alpo right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
So,
but you know that dude that didn't get caught up in that indictment, he might take him up under his wing.
Who is that?
The Harv dude or whoever.
Oh, Harv.
Oh, he's not in the indictment?
I don't know. I don't know that history. To be.
Yeah, he's the one that did the kidnapping.
Oh, okay.
He's the kidnapper.
Well, one of them, somebody from their hood, those ain't the only two G's over there.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple Nine Trey Bloods that say, look, Tekashi, it was messed up what happened to you. They should have never tried to kidnap you. I understand why you did what you did.
Just come over here and break us off.
Now let me manage you.
Yep.
It's the money.
He'll be doing collabs with Nicki Minaj again. Who knows? I can't even believe that Nicki Minaj did a collab with 6ix9ine because I felt like they were on different levels.
So you think Nicki Minaj is more shocking than Casanova, 50 Cent, and Uncle Murder?
I just think Nicki Minaj is at the top of the totem pole when it comes to
hip-hop. Man, he had number 10
or 8 to 10
number 1 hits.
Any rapper is going to record with somebody that's pushing the rainbow. I see Nicki Minaj before I see 50 Cent, Uncle Murder, and Casanova. This dude was pushing metro femininity and all that. That's Nicki Minaj. Minaj is sex. But you talking about these grimy New York gutter supposedly dudes. Why was their excuse for standing next to this dude?
Business. $10 million.
I mean, it's the same for everyone. I see an economic opportunity collabing with this guy.
Yeah, so I don't understand why the surprise with Nicki Minaj.
Because Nicki don't need that. She already at the top.
That's what I'm saying. 50 Cent.
No, Cardi was kicking her ass then. His competition was Cardi B at the time. You remember? That's all he kept talking about.
Yeah,
even at the Breakfast Club, they were talking about Cardi B. He was like, no, I'm hotter than Cardi B.
Right.
I got this amount of hits.
Yeah,
she only had this many.
Yeah.
I just feel like his whole career was just a fraud. And, I never thought his music
Nicki
was
hates his Cardi too. B. Nicki hates
her whole career is a fraud, too.
Who's that?
Her baby name, Culture with a K. I don't respect that, bro. That's corny as fuck. Cardi B, Culture with a K. Gonna name her child Culture with a K.
She always throwing up the beats.
For a female to be as ignorant to be that successful and name your baby? To change a word for your baby? That's goofy.
Yeah.
Spider Loke.
That's goofy.
Do your homegirls change the B's to the C's?
On my mama, my nigga, I swear for God, that is not no super common thing with us like it is with y'all, bro.
With
the Red Rags.
Oh, with the Bloods.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. Let me tell you what Bloods do. Because you said my homegirls, I'm from a one-man gang.
Oh, man, I hung with some dudes. Okay, I know they did some great shit. They put G on everything.
I want to say, I'm glad this subject is up.
So don't say that.
All my life, I've been so intrigued by the fact that Bloods say flu. Because we try to eliminate all the bees we can in every word.
So that started in the county jail when you had the blood and crib modules.
Right.
Okay. That shit started.
But it was just like, that was like eliminating the bee. That was
changing
like
shit.
For me, I noticed that.
He put Cardi B on his IG page in an all crib outfit. He couldn't wait to post that.
Oh, my mama, I swear to God, when I first did it, I didn't know it was Cardi B. I just seen all the bandana shit. I didn't know two niggas reacted that was Cardi B. That's how out the loop I be. And that used to be red. I didn't even know it was Photoshopped.
Somebody Photoshopped it. But you couldn't wait to post that.
No, I liked it that.
Anything blue. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Anything beautiful.
Yeah. Crayola agrees. Beautiful is quite a beautiful concept. Crayola taught all of us. It teaches all of our children. It's our first teacher.
That's true.
All right, fellas, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Yes, another sir. Episode of the Gangster Chronicles. I want to thank everyone for tuning in.
Don't forget to advertise. Yeah. Digital.
I want Spider to shout out his channel.
We on YouTube. Spider Look Most East is the YouTube channel. We Wake and Bake most Wednesday mornings around 8 a.m. Pacific time. Other than that, we on IG at Spider Look Most East 7. Whole lot of content. Shout out to the Gangster Chronicles, the three-headed monster, for letting me come up here and talk my stuff one more again. Appreciate y'all.
That's the Black Box, right?
Black Box Production. That's what we pushing. Shout out to Puto in the back. That's my producer, my cameraman, my director, man. And he got a lot of other jobs I ain't going to tell you about.
And don't forget about Bomb First. That's Reggie Wright's channel. Ooh. I never get to mention John, but you do that with John. What's John's last name?
John. Just John.
Just John.
Big John.
Never
just
shout John. Out John, but John and Reggie Wright, Bomb First.
I want to shout out John for...
On
he single-handedly started my social media career way back in like 2001. Shout out to
catch,
John.
Shout out to John.
His own podcast coming soon. You know, I'm leaving the Temptations. Bye-bye.
And don't forget about digital.
And real quick, don't forget about Street TV. I'm always posting videos, 2-3 every week.
Just
and
posted a new clip of me today.
I did.
Yesterday.
I posted another clip of Spider.
That's the one I just watched.
And please don't forget about our live show, October 23rd at 7 p.m. in Bellflower at 1628 Bellflower Boulevard at the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill. Come on now. I'm letting everybody know about the live show.
Go ahead.
My bad.
At the French Quarter Creole Bar and Grill, 16728 Bellflower Boulevard, Bellflower, California. That's just east of Los Angeles.
Get the tickets.
And ladies, you can get the tickets at thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com. That's www.thegangsterchroniclespodcast.com. Reggie Wright just said they're $40. So make sure you get those. And we are out.
Out.
Out in 5,000.
Why you wanna...
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.